present Henry VI, Part 1 by William Shakespeare.
With black yield day to night. Comets importing change of times and states, brandish your crystal tresses in the sky, and with them scourge the bad revolting stars that have consented unto Henry's death. King Henry V, too famous to live long. England ne'er lost a king of so much worth.
England ne'er had a king until his time. Virtue he had, deserving to command. His brandished sword did blind men with his beams. His arms spread wider than a dragon's wings. His sparkling eyes replete with wrathful fire, more dazzled and drove back his enemies than midday sun fierce bent against their faces. What should I say? His deeds exceed all speech. He ne'er lift up his hand, but conquer it.
We mourn in black. Why mourn we not in blood? Henry is dead and never shall revive. Upon a wooden coffin we attend, death's dishonorable victory. We, with our stately presence, glorify like captives bound to a triumphant car. What? Shall we curse the planets of mishap that plotted thus our glory's overthrow? Or shall we think the subtle-witted French conjurers and sorcerers that, afraid of him by magic verses, have contrived his end?
He was a king blessed of the King of Kings. Unto the French the dreadful judgment day so dreadful will not be as was his sight. The battles of the Lord of Hosts he fought. The church's prayers made him so prosperous.
The church, where is it? Had not churchmen prayed, his thread of life had not so soon decayed. None do you like but an effeminate prince, whom like a schoolboy you may overawe.
Gloucester, whate'er we like, thou art protector, and lookest to command the prince and realm. Thy wife is proud. She holdeth thee in awe more than God or religious churchmen may.
Name not religion, for thou lovest the flesh. And ne'er throughout the year to church thou goest, except it be to pray against thy foes.
Cease these jars, and rest your minds in peace. Wretch to the altar. Heralds, wait on us. Instead of gold, we'll offer up our arms. Since arms avail not, now that Henry's dead, posterity await for wretched years. When at their mother's moistened eyes babes shall suck, our isle be made a nourish of salt tears, and none but women left to wail the dead. Henry V, thy ghost I invocate. Prosper this realm, keep it from civil broils. Combat with adverse planets in the heavens. A far more glorious star thy soul will make than Julius Caesar or bright...
My honorable lords, health to you all. Sad tidings bring I to you out of France, of loss, of slaughter and discomfiture. Guienne, Champagne, Reims, Orléans, Paris, Gisors, Poitiers are all quite lost.
What sayst thou, man, before dead Henry's cause? Speak softly, or the loss of those great towns will make him burst his lead and rise from death.
Is Paris lost? Is Rouen yielded up? If Henry were a call to life again, these news would cause him once more yield the ghost.
How were they lost? What treachery was used?
No treachery, but want of men and money. Amongst the soldiers this is muttered, that here you maintain several factions, and whilst a field should be dispatched and fought, you are disputing of your generals. One would have lingering wars with little cost, another would fly swift but wanteth wings, a third thinks without expense at all, by guileful fair words peace may be obtained. Awake! Awake, English nobility! Let not sloth dim your honours new begot! Cropped are the flowered Deluces in your arms. Of England's coast, one half is cut away.
There are tears wanting to this funeral. These tidings would call forth her flowing tides.
Me they concern. Regent, I am of France. Give me my steeled coat. I'll fight for France. Away with these disgraceful wailing robes. Wounds will I lend the French instead of eyes to weep their intermissive miseries.
Lords! View these letters, full of bad mischance. France is revolted from the English quite, except some petty towns of no import. The Dauphin Charles is crowned king in Reims. The bastard of Orléans with him is joined. Renier, Duke of Anjou, doth take his part. The Duke of Alençon flieth to his side.
The Dauphin crowned king? All fly to him? Oh, whither shall we fly from this reproach?
We will not fly, but to our enemies' throats. Bedford, if thou be slack, I'll fight it out.
Oh, Gloucester, why doubt'st thou of my forwardness? An army have I mustered in my thoughts, wherewith already France is overrun.
My gracious lords, to add to your laments, wherewith you now bedew King Henry's hearse, I must inform you of a dismal fight betwixt the stout Lord Talbot and the French.
What? Wherein Talbot overcame, is it so?
Oh, no. Wherein Lord Talbot was overthrown. The circumstance I'll tell you more at large. The 10th of August last, this dreadful lord, retiring from the siege of Orléans, having full scarce 6,000 in his troop, by 23,000 of the French was round encompassed and set upon. No leisure had he to enrank his men. He wanted pikes to set before his archers, instead whereof sharp stakes plucked out of hedges they pitched in the ground confusedly to keep the horsemen off from breaking in. More than 3 hours the fight continued, where valiant Talbot above human thought enacted wonders with his sword and lance. Hundreds he sent to hell, and none durst stand him. Here, there, and everywhere enraged he slew. The French exclaimed the devil was in arms. All the whole army stood agazed on him. His soldiers, spying his undaunted spirit, a Talbot, cried out amain, and rushed into the bowels of the battle. Here had the conquest fully been sealed up, if Sir John Fastolf had not played the coward. He, being in the vowed place behind, with purpose to relieve and follow them, cowardly fled, not having struck one stroke. Hence grew the general rack and massacre. Enclosed were they with their enemies. A base Walloon, to win the Dauphin's grace, thrust Talbot with a spear into the back, whom all France, with their chief assembled strength, durst not presume to look once in the face.
Is Talbot slain? Then I will slay myself for living idly here in pomp and ease, while such a worthy leader, wanting aid unto his dastard foeman, is betrayed.
Oh, no, he lives, but is took prisoner. And Lord Scales with him and Lord Hungerford, most of the rest slaughtered or took likewise.
His ransom there is none but I shall pay. I'll hail the Dauphin headlong from his throne. His crown shall be the ransom of my friend. 4 of their lords I'll change for 1 of ours. Farewell, my masters. To my task will I. Bonfires in France forthwith I am to make, to keep our great St. George's feast with all. 10,000 soldiers with me I will take, whose bloody deeds shall make all Europe quake.
So you had need, for Orléans is besieged. The English army is grown weak and faint. The Earl of Salisbury craveth supply, and hardly keeps his men from mutiny, since they so few watch such a multitude.
Remember, lords, your oath to Henry sworn, either to quell the Dauphin utterly, or bring him in obedience to your yoke.
I do remember it, and here take my leave to go about my preparation.
I'll to the tower with all the haste I can to view the artillery and munition, and then I will proclaim young Henry king.
To Eltham will I, where the young king is, being ordained his special governor, and for his safety there I'll best devise.
Each hath his place and function to attend. I am left out. For me nothing remains. But long I will not be jack out of office. The king from Eltham I intend to steal, and sit at chiefest stern of public weal.